the Capitol in the US. Both say that they are not followers of QAnon, though it is clear that their thinking is heavily influenced by its ideas. Russian QAnon also has differences with its American cousin. Donald Trump doesn't feature as much as you would expect. I analysed the social media content of one of the largest Russian QAnon groups. Of more than 4,500 posts, only around 5% mentioned Trump. But perhaps even more surprisingly, less than 1% mentioned Russia's President Vladimir Putin. I get the sense that the Russian offshoot of QAnon certainly understands both men's importance to Q rhetoric, but really they have taken and evolved it for their own needs. QAnon is a fringe movement in Russia, and unlike in some other countries, it doesn't have a physical presence in real-life politics. There are no street protests by people with Q banners. But something I noticed in many of the groups on social media is that their posts often mirror the pro-Kremlin propaganda in state media. Here is Konstantin Mikhailov again.
Well, there is no great mystery in this case, since in Russian QAnon and QAnon in general, Vladimir Putin is more of a good character, a fighter against the deep state, a fighter against the decay of the modern world. Naturally, his opponents are painted in a completely different light. If Trump is a messiah, then Vladimir Putin is an aide to this messiah, a sidekick of the savior.
Even those QAnon followers who are hostile to Russian officials for introducing COVID restrictions can still believe that Putin is on the side of the angels. Konstantin says that those who oppose Putin are demonized.
Alexei Navalny and other Russian opposition activists are, of course, supporters of the evil forces of the deep state. And given that in Russian society, the idea of the entire Russian opposition being in the pay of the Americans, British intelligence, and so on, has been very popular for years, ever since the start of the Putin regime, it has all fitted together very organically.
However, in recent months, the growth of QAnon in Russia has hit a very large bump in the road.
Tonight at 10, we're live in Ukraine, a country at war after a huge Russian military offensive by land, sea, and air. The onslaught began just before dawn with a barrage of missiles on multiple targets right across the country.
After the invasion, really, what's quite notable amongst the Russian QAnon communities is that a lot of them have gone quiet, have gone silent, and have stopped posting.
That's Kieran O'Connor, a senior disinformation analyst with the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, which focuses on analysing and monitoring online extremism, disinformation, and hate. Many QAnon supporters in the US have expressed enthusiastic support for Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But Kieran says that, ironically, in Russian QAnon circles, there has been a more complicated response. While some have backed the war, others see it as a tragedy or even a mistake.
The fact that Ukraine are close neighbours and share so many kind of cultural or linguistic and social links also can't be discounted as a factor in motivating some of the sentiments that wish for peace within Ukraine. And in general, it seems though that within these kind of Russian QAnon communities, the notion of war between Ukraine and Russia seemed impossible up to February 24th. And then after that, it was just disbelief that it actually happened, it seems.
Kieran says the fact that some Russian QAnon channels have stopped posting may also reflect another concern. The Russian government has introduced strict laws to penalise anybody who speaks out against what it insists should be called a special military operation.
It could also be a response to the situation within Russia, where if they were to carry on that kind of anti-war or pro kind of peace message, they could fall foul of the regulations that were introduced into Russia, which I think it was up to 15 years in jail for spreading what's termed as fake news in the country as well. But ideologically and kind of narrative speaking, yeah, there was a kind of an unsure quality to how they were to respond.
Whatever the reasons were, what was Russia's largest QAnon group signed off with a final post on the 15th of March.
Don't be disheartened, friends. Stay close to your inner voice Listen to your soul, lose yourself in the general madness, and acquire the truth by passing through its darkest aspects. Do not lose awareness of yourself in doing so. Become a beacon for lost souls in these times of big change.
Both of the Q-informed bloggers I've spoken to have mixed feelings about the war. While they regret the suffering it's causing, it's fair to say they both see it as part of some greater scheme. Here's Vlad.
What's happening now is a process that's inevitable. Similar to Q being a phenomenon, what is happening now in Ukraine is an inevitable process of reunification of Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus. The fact that people are dying is indeed bad. I really express my compassion to everyone who is suffering right now. All this could have been avoided had the Ukrainian authorities not danced to the tune of the West and behaved wisely in the interests of their own people.
And what about Natasha? Well, she's been sharing false claims about US-funded biolabs in Ukraine that she genuinely thinks are involved in developing bioweapons. The same sort of disinformation promoted by the Kremlin, but with an extra conspiratorial tone. She believes baseless claims that the labs were part of a deliberate plan to wipe out a large part of the world's population.
So I think it's another big project from these elite groups or whatever, how other can call them, deep state or like Illuminati or whatever. Their idea is to clean up the earth and to make the population that they can control. So it's for them is a perfect chance to make one brother to kill another, so they don't have blood on their hands. That's what I think.
However, online, she's received some pushback to these views. So much so that she's now also closed her Great Awakening channel on Telegram and is only posting on her personal Instagram page.
I'm a very emotional person, and I started to receive a lot of negativity from people that were having a different point of view. And most of the time it was very aggressive.
So what do these divisions mean for QAnon in Russia? Back to Konstantin Mikhailov, religion and conspiracy expert from earlier. He says the spread of QAnon in Russia may have been stalled by the war in Ukraine, but he believes this may only be a temporary blip.
Even though QAnon in Russia is a relatively small group, it is part of a very large, very influential and rapidly growing international movement. Right now, QAnon has subsided a bit, but we absolutely cannot be certain that it won't start growing again in the near future. An example was the Satanic Panic in the 80s, 90s. It was a big mix of conspiracy theories about Satanism. At some point, it looked like they had died down, but in the 2010s, they again started growing very rapidly and to a certain degree were incorporated into QAnon. There is no guarantee that QAnon is not going to spring back to life after a break in the next 5 to 10 years. And society needs to be ready for the challenge.
As the Ukraine war rages on, the future of QAnon in Russia remains unclear. But, as ever with conspiracy theories, even if the fashion for Q dies down, their ideas are likely to live on. That's it for this episode of BBC Trending. My thanks to producer Jerry Sullivan. Our editor was Ed Main. If you want to get in touch about this episode, then you can do so by emailing me at olga.robinson@bbc.co.uk. And remember to leave us a rating or a review, wherever you get your podcasts from. Thanks for listening.
Cooking.
Culture.
Adventuring.
Diet. What's the first thing that springs to your mind when you think of food? Is it a cherished memory?
There's no greater beginning, I think, across my food journey than watching Mum's face pull that tray out the oven.
Or does it tell you who you are?
Oh, that's our food. Mixture of spices.
People are looking for the foods of their homeland.
This is Mejadra. It's actually another dish that takes me back to Jerusalem.
The Food Chain, a podcast from the BBC World Service. explores the world's relationship with food, from the science and business.
We're reliant on wheat and rice, etc., is because it's so easy to produce enough food.
To its cultural significance.
We are fusing so many of our experiences together.
People sort of understand the culture, never knew about it. And I think that fascinated me.
Search for The Food Chain, wherever you found this podcast.
August, die Rosen erblühten im Garten. Da haben wir unseren Schutzwall gebaut, wir konnten nicht länger warten.
Wer das Leben stört und die Wandlung nicht hört, wird die Faust unserer starken Armee.
Solange man aus Bonn noch mit Kriegsbränden droht, stehen wir auf Wacht an der Spree. Am Ufer der Spree von Feinden des Volkes erschossen.
Weder Mord noch Krieg führt sie je zum Sieg und Berlin, unsere Hauptstadt, bleibt frei.
Der Heimat das Herz und dem Feinde die Stirn, das wehrte uns unsere Partei.
Jung sind die Linden und jung bleibt Berlin, weil wir auf Waffe zum Spree. Uns weht die Fahne des Sieges voran, wir halten stand, nur Passerand. Jung sind die Linden und jung bleibt Berlin, weil wir auf Waffe zum Spreeufer ziehen. Uns weht die Fahne des Sieges voran, wir halten stand, nur
tight, and all listening to The Lake.
You are listening to The Lake Radio. And coming up is a live broadcast from a small gallery in Copenhagen called Chin Chin. It's small, but it's full of people. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
We have a live concert with the duo Drunkard, consisting of Henning Lundqvist and Thomas Rudin. And they will perform a concert, half an hour, 40 minutes, something like that. And we hope that you will listen in. That's about it. Without further ado, Drunkard.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. the numeral 2, the letter R, the letter E,
yeah.
factory.com.
And it's factory, yes.
So
what is it?
So basically, I have ADHD. I don't identify as ADHD, but I've turned my bug into a feature, and I've taken all the crazy projects that I do, and I've rebranded it a personal incubator. And so,
wow, you're smart.
Most of them failed, but now they're not failures. They're just they're startups.
Man.
So I was talking about this this project that I'm working on called the Pomodoro. So the Pomodoro technique is a productivity hack where you time yourself for 25 minutes.
What?
It's a productivity hack using a timer to focus and get shit done.
Okay.
You
want to feel in a hurry or what?
No. So it's really easy to get distracted. So it's a common thing if you just Google Pomodoro technique.
Pomodoro. It's just like a tomato.
Yes, exactly. So in America we have egg timers. In Italy they have tomato timers. So you use a tomato timer. You crank it to 25, and you hear the ticking, help. And it's also
that's weird. And does that work for you?
Yes, it does. When I remember to do it. But my biggest use case for it is like when I do freelance work, I know how many hours to charge. Because I go, I spent 2 Pomodoros, so that's 1 hour, and I can build a client on that. Huh. So what this is a DIY kit where you can make your own.
Oh, but you are holding a red...
circuit board.
Oh, it is a circuit board. but I also thought I heard you say something like Arduino, but this is...
Yes, so there is going to be... this is still in development, but there's going to be an Arduino chip on there.
Oh, really?
And so this will be...
What does that mean?
Oh, Arduino is like hobby computer, so...
Yeah, I know, but what does it mean when you have an Arduino chip?
Oh, so
what does that mean? So what does it do?
It'll be so this is a timer, and you can adjust... Oh. You can play around with different timing techniques, and there's going to be...
Does it come with a screen, or is this it?
Yeah, so this will be an LED screen of 2 numbers.
Okay.
So
yeah, because you are holding a red circuit board, a bit roundish... Like not even 10 centimeters long.
Yeah. And then I think...
And this is with little holes. And
start and reset will be the buttons there. And then these are the circuit boards.
Okay.
I think this is the speaker.
Ah, of course, yeah.
And, no, I'm sorry. That's LEDs up there. These are the buttons that are going to be there. And then this will be a little buzzer.
Yeah, dus het is een... eigenlijk is het een getekende printplaat. Waar dan so the parts are drawn on it. And you can later just...
Yeah.
Put the parts.
So we're trying to make it as easy as possible to solder.
Yeah.
So that I can go around the world teaching classes on how to solder, how to program Arduino, and like productivity hacks.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Well,
and all that in 25 minutes.
Well, yeah. Well, so we could time ourselves while we solder, and I don't know. I haven't gotten to the step where I have a thing that actually works yet. So once I get there, then I'll like.
It
go
sounds,
to events like these
it
and
sounds
teach.
Very nervous to me.
Yeah. Well, it's...
Yeah, but I do like how you said that you turned your diagnosis into a feature.
Yeah.
Because I have a similar situation, basically.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I have been a customer of mental health... For like 40 years.
Okay.
Ever since I left the parents' house and went into Amsterdam, I came from a farm.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And then I came in the city, and then immediately I fell into the hands of mental health officers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because, things were very disturbing. A lot of squatting going on, and me coming from a dairy farm, basically.
Wow. That is a big culture shock.
Yeah, so, 40 years, and basically my diagnosis started as just depression.
Oh, okay.
Which is true, which I'd already started way before I landed in Amsterdam, but... and then they managed to double my diagnosis.
Oh, wow.
So now I am not just depressed, but I also have manic episodes.
Oh, great.
So now I'm bipolar.
Oh, yeah.
And now the trick.
Yeah.
Because as you said, my diagnosis is not, it's not a diagnosis. It's a state of mind that is a fucking gift.
It can be. You can turn it into
when
a gift,
I am manic, I can do so much. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's a gift. It's a fucking gift.
Yes, yeah, I can see that.
And my purpose now is to be able to level it.
Yeah.
Because I have two things I can do. I can do radio, which is like really exciting.
Oh, cool, okay.
And I can do gardening.
And what?
Gardening, which is in total isolation.
So gardening,
behind the,
when you're depressed?
Behind the safe doors of my home.
Oh, nice.
No people involved, because when I'm manic, I'm very annoying for other people.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah,
and you can notice I'm manic because I will not let you speak anymore.
Okay. Well, I did. I actually had a nervous, I don't know what you call it, but in college I had a mental breakdown, and it was in a mental hospital and all this. And they diagnosed me with, they said, if you don't come down, you're schizophrenic. If you do, you're bipolar. And I was on lithium. And,
lithium, no.
It took me forever to realize I don't think I'm bipolar.
Lithium is a crime against humanity.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. It did.
It killed me.
Yeah, it put
it killed
me
my
down.
Mind.
I think, well, they had me on Haldol to just knock me out.
Yeah.
And then they put me on lithium to level it out. But I've come to the realization that I don't think I was ever manic or depressive. It was like a singular event.
Mm.
I have other issues, like many issues, but that's not my issue.
Mm.
I think I was misdiagnosed.
Mm.
I think it's what happens when you're, I think it was 23 or whatever, and when I research, it's like, I forget the age exactly, but that's the age when people have like a psychotic break.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the window of when it happens, and I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there is a use for psychological disorders. I know they can't tell I'm doing quotes with my fingers.
Come on, I mean,
or
I am. I'm not believing this anymore. I'm sorry.
Well, I think there's.
I mean,
there's
a
usefulness for having a diagnosis, because then you have something.
No, there
to
is
work
a
with.
Usefulness to analyzing what. What is not what is wrong with someone, with how it works for a person.
Well, I mean, psychology.
If you know how it works,
it's not a.
It's the beginning of understanding how to deal.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a useful.
And that's the thing that you need to do. You need to find a way to deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the thing is that my mental thing is not. It's not suitable for this society.
I would.
And this is why
disagree.
You're being isolated from society, because your state of mind is not useful for the economic factory.
I mean, I think it is, and it can be. And there's some things what do you call it? Asperger's, where people are really like focused on something, and maybe if you have a certain diagnosis, then like you're a better programmer or something. So I don't think you're useless at all. Like, and I don't think this. I think there's a utility for being, outside the norm. It's like if you want to get into evolution, it's like, well, you can't
that
have
you need.
Everyone. Yeah, you need people like us, right?
So the same with I don't know. I used to watch football, and it's the same with football. If everything goes as planned in a football match,
then it's boring.
It's fucking boring.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to fall.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody needs to stumble.
Yeah.
For them to have to think.
Yeah.
About the situation, and not about what does my teacher tell me to do.
Yeah, I have two minds about sports. One is like it's a waste of energy, because you're getting very upset about these two teams that don't matter, when you should be getting upset about like political action or something. But then also it's community building, like people watch sports.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very useful.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a very deranged.
yeah, yeah.
thing. Yeah. You know, it just turned weird because of neoliberal idiot capitalism. Basically,
yes, capitalism ruins everything, I think.
Yeah.
There's, yeah.
Yeah, it's commodifiable. So
yeah. I can't think of anything that's not commodifiable. Well, so at least in America and probably worldwide, there's a great philosopher, Byun Holt Shan, and then there's another one. I forget his name. Something Smith, but he has this idea that psychosis is commodifiable because you turn it into a thing and then you solve it with pills.
Yeah.
And so so it's
for me also
but I always thought Amsterdam was better at that than America. America, we just have homeless people for taking care of or